there was an elderly lady. She was well known in the community for her faith and her boldness in talking about the Lord. Every morning, this woman would stand on her porch and she would shout praises to the Lord. She would say, "Praise the Lord, mighty is he and worthy to be praised." Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her in her open worship. He would shout to her, "There is no God." Well, as time went on, this lady fell on hard times. And she stood on a porch one morning and began to pray. She prayed to God to send her some assistance. She stood on a porch and shouted, "Lord, please, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." The atheist overheard her praying to God. So he went and bought a bag of groceries and put it on her porch. And he hid in the bushes. The woman came out that morning and saw the bag of groceries and began to shout, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the groceries." The atheist jumped out of the bushes and he said to her, "Ha, there is no God. I bought those groceries." And the woman fell to her knees and said, "Lord, not only did you give me groceries, but you made the devil pay for them." We're in a series here at Grace titled Interviews. On last Sunday, if you recall, we had a conversation with King David. And I asked that you, on last Sunday, use your spiritual imaginations as we go through this series, interviewing characters from the Bible. Today, we're going to talk to Elijah. I was thinking this week in view of life difficult circumstances, many of us must wonder from time to time whether or not God really cares for us or not. All of us have perplexing situations that we have to deal with. All of us have needs which we have honestly prayed to God over. I want you to know this morning that God will provide for all of your needs. We often ask God to meet our needs and the needs of others. We seek God for our provisions in life, just like the story of the old woman in the neighborhood shouting out and asking God to help her. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why isn't God responding to us the way we want him to? How many of you can testify to that? We pray, and sometimes it seems like our prayer does not even leave the building or the house. But I want you to know this morning, God will provide. The Bible reveals God as our provider. On the pages of Scripture, he is portrayed as the one who sees and cares for us all. He cares for our needs. The Bible says, "And God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ." He has in mind, listen, he knows and he has in mind the very amount of hairs that we have on our heads. That's how familiar he is with us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are just dust from the earth. Listen, Romans 8 and 32, it's not on the screen, but I want to read it. Listen, Romans 8 and 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up to us, how would he not also with him give us all things? We hear of the great concern that Jesus has for the birds, for the sparrows that fall to the ground. I want you today to take that concern and multiply it hundreds of times, and that don't even touch the tip of how much God cares for you. I want you to know that God will take care of you. If you get nothing else out of this message today, know that he will provide. Now, the pages of scripture are abundant with stories of how God came through for his people in their time of need over and over again. Now, sometimes, people, I think that we read the Bible and feel as if it is a book of fantasy. Sometimes I think that we forget that the characters in the Bible are real people just like us. They had hopes and dreams. They believed and they doubted. They felt joy and they experienced despair. They suffered real pain just like you and I. And they didn't know what was going to happen from day to day. Perhaps the greatest of the Old Testament characters or prophets was the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful people in the Bible. God used Elijah during an important time in Israel's history. It was through Elijah that God opposed a wicked king who was over the land, over God's people. Elijah's ministry marked the beginning of the end of Baal worship in Israel. So I thought in my studies this week that it would be interesting to interview Elijah. While studying the Bible around the first Kings, where Elijah began his ministry, I ran into Elijah. In my mind, in my imagination, I ran into Elijah. It was in a mountain territory on the east of the Jordan River called Gilead. I noticed that Elijah was a rugged mountain man. Looked like he had shopped at an old school Bass Pro Shop. He was wearing a hairy garment with a leather belt. There wasn't much refined or delicate about Elijah. What you saw is what you got. And when I saw him, I said, "Hey, aren't you Elijah? Is that you?" And in my mind, he answered and said, "Yes, I am Elijah." And I said, you were one of the boldest prophets in the Bible. You stood up boldly for God in a time when adultery had swept the land. In fact, your name means God is Jehovah." So I said to Elijah, "Can I interview you?" And he said, "Yeah, Don, sure." So I asked Elijah, I said, "First of all, first question is, I don't recall seeing you in the first few books of the Old Testament. When did you show up in the Bible?" Elijah said, "I made my entrance into the biblical stage quite abruptly in the first verse of the 17th chapter of 1 Kings." Elijah said, "In that chapter, you're going to see God teach me some very important lessons." So I said to him, "What is your mission? What was your mission?" And he said to me, "My mission is exactly the same as your mission and your church's mission today. My mission was to denounce a false God." He said, "Don, have you read Isaiah 43:10-11? It says, 'You are my witnesses,' declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand I am he. Before me, no other God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no other Savior. I want you to know today that there is only one bridge that would get you there, and that bridge is Jesus. Yes, there's other gods, small g gods. There's other gods, but there's only one true and living God. There's only one God that has stood to the test of time. Listen, if you go to the grave of Muhammad, he's still in the grave. If you go to the grave of Fushes, he's still in the grave. But I want you to know that Jesus is no longer in the grave. He got up because he is the true and living Son of the true and living God. Revelation 1 and 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Elijah says to me, it was my purpose in life to let King Ahab, who reigned over the northern kingdom of Israel, know that Baal was not God, and that there was one true and living God, the Lord Yahweh. King Ahab was my constant opponent and one of the most evil of the kings over God's people, Israel. A major influence of Ahab was his wife, the infamous Queen Jezebel. And she was determined to make Baal worship the national religion of Israel. Listen, Israel was God's people. Israel was God's chosen people, but it was Jezebel's intent or purpose to turn the people against God and to cause them to worship Baal. Elijah said, my first mission and my first ministry was to tell the king that there was going to be a drought. Now understand that this was a direct challenge to their god Baal, who was the god of storms and weather. Now here I am telling them that my God is going to cause a drought. King Ahab didn't realize that the God that I serve was in control of the weather. Storms obey his command. Listen, King Ahab, I know you're in the Old Testament, but if you had a chance to read Matthew 8, 23 to 27, you would find this account. Then he got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey his voice. I could imagine that day, church, that the storm was talking to himself and saying, I'm going to tear up some stuff. I'm going to destroy some stuff. I'm going to sink some ships and kill some people. But Jesus, the storm whisperer, came on the scene and said, storm, be still. And I can imagine in my mind, the storm said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm mighty. I'm strong. I can destroy cities. I can tear down buildings, but the King of Kings told me to hold my peace, and I have no choice but to hold my peace. Listen, Jesus loves us, and he's always with us. So even in scary times that feel like storms inside of us, he can keep us calm. Oh, the wind is blowing all around us. Lightning and thunder in our lives. Not necessarily real lightning and thunder, but sometimes our problems get so big and get so heavy, it seems like we're in a tornado. It seems like we are lost in a storm. But I want you to know Jesus knows exactly where you are. And he knows the storm that you're in, and he is the storm whisperer. It is he that can say, storm, be still. He knows exactly what you're facing, and he is already walking on the water coming to you. Or he may already be in your boat, and you don't even know it yet. A lot of times, Jesus has already delivered us. But we're so caught up in the circumstances, we're so caught up in what we see with our eyes, we don't realize Jesus is already in our boat, and he's already calming our storm. Just keep this in mind. Just because the storm is raging does not mean that he does not care. He's simply saying to you, be not afraid. Look to him, and he will give you rest and shelter. Psalms 91, the Bible teaches that Jesus is our shelter. He is our refuge and our fortress. The only one that can save you, your dying soul this morning, is Jesus. Let him be your friend. Take your salvation. Receive it. Depend upon the good deeds of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not about baptism. It's not about your good looks or your money. But the only thing that would get you to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is saying today, church, I am the way. He did not say that he was the way. He said, I am the way. He is the way today, the only way. So let me get back to my talk with Elijah. He says to me, King Ahab, who is the king over God's people, he's married to Jezebel. And I thought for a minute, and I said to him, who would marry a woman named Jezebel? Can you imagine, church, your daughter, or your son, actually, your son comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I want you to meet my fiance. Her name is Jezebel. Who would marry someone named Jezebel? But King Ahab was married to Jezebel. Listen, 1 Kings 21:25, listen what it says about Jezebel. There was never anyone like Ahab, who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. It was Jezebel that turned the king's heart away from God and convinced him to worship Baal. Now, here I come, Elijah said, here I come, but claiming that God, the God that I served, is the only true and living God. And to prove that claim, I declared that there would be a drought for 3 years. But no sooner had I issued my challenge, God came to me with a surprising command. These instructions were surprising because I had just announced my ministry. I had just told King Ahab what he needed to hear. I had just told him about God. But God had another plan for me. He said to me, even though I was pumped up about my mission, I was ready to take action. But God said to me, go home and hide yourself in a ravine. Listen, Don, here I am in the peak of my ministry. And God stops me and told me to go hide in a river. The river was on the east side of Jordan. It was located in my hometown of Gilead. So what God was doing was sending me back home to hide, out in a remote ravine surrounded by nothing. I'm a man of action, Eliza said. I began to wonder what's going on. Why is God taking me out of the game? Why is he taking me out of the lineup and I just got in the game? But now I understand God's reason for his command. God takes this action in order to teach me a lesson in the fact that God will provide. To teach me that I can depend on God to provide for me in every way and every need. Listen, church, sometimes God puts us in a desolate place and takes away all of our normal resources that we may depend on him for everything. Sometimes we get in circumstances that God allows us to be in only to open our eyes to the fact that we have to depend on God. Isn't it amazing that God knows how to navigate our circumstances and our lives where we can neither go backward or forward and we have no other choice but to depend on God? Elijah said to me, Don, the time at the ravine was a powerful lesson for me about God's ability to provide, about his sovereign power to take care of his servant. Surrounded by the anguish of being in a lonely ravine by myself, God does something totally unexpected. I had no food, no way to get food. And listen what God did. God commanded the ravens to bring me food. God uses the ravens as an ancient version of DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. God uses the ravens like Domino Pizza, we will deliver. God uses the ravens like Meals on Wheels, but instead it was Meals on Wings. Wow. Now I'm in this place, and ravens, listen, let me tell you about ravens. Ravens are scavengers by nature, like the crows that rip open your garbage bags when you send them out. Ravens aren't typically in the food delivery business. When they find food, they eat it. But when the sovereign God commands the ravens to bring food, they have no choice but to listen to what God said. So every morning, the ravens arrived with meat and bread for my breakfast. Every evening, they arrived with meat and bread for my dinner. And every time they arrived, God was showing me that he will provide, and that I can depend on him. God was saying to me, and he's saying it to you today, church, God is Yahweh. He is Jehovah, which means God will provide. He's saying to you, I am God. Don't you realize today that whatever you need, all of your needs are met by your God? Listen, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all of my needs. We read it earlier. According to his riches. And he has all of the riches. He has everything. There is nothing that you need. Now, it's a whole lot of stuff, church, that we want. And we don't always get what we want, but I guarantee you, God will give you everything you need. Amen. He'll supply all of your needs. Not necessarily all of your wants. And a lot of times when God shows up, we expect him to show up one way, but he shows up another way. It reminds me of a man who was drowning in the ocean. The man prayed, said, Lord, save me. I'm drowning. And right after he prayed, he looked up and saw an old raggedy fishing boat. The man on the boat said, come on, climb aboard. He looked and said, no, I'm okay. God is going to save me. Later on, the man drowned and died, and he went to heaven and said, God, what happened? I prayed, and God said, I sent you a fishing boat. Now, the problem was he was looking for something big. He was looking for Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. But God sent just what he needed, not necessarily what he wanted, but he sent what he needed. A lot of times, church, we pray to God for what we want. We pray to God and we tell him how to do it, how to answer, what to answer. But he sends an answer that sometimes is so simple to us. But I want you to know today, when you ask God for something and you need it, he will give it to you. Just be open to receive it the way the Lord sends it. Elijah is talking to me still, and he talks about a time when there was a drought and the river dried up. And the Lord speaks to him again and gives him a second surprise command. He tells him to go to another city. And in that city was dangerous for Elijah because he had already made the king mad and insulted his wife. But God said, go to that city and I'll take care of you. Elijah went on a journey to the city. Had to go right in the midst of Baal worshipers. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God said to me, Elijah said, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Go where I tell you to go. Elijah goes on the journey, and on the journey he runs out of food, he runs out of supplies, and he does not know what he's going to do. And he begins to doubt, just like a lot of us when things are not going well, just like the children of Israel when they were in the midst of the desert. He began to doubt God and say, where is God? He's put me out here on this journey, and now I have no food, I have nothing. But God spoke to him and told him to go see a widow. There was a woman who in town that was a widow, and he went to her and he found two things. Number one, this woman was not a Jewish woman. Number two, she wasn't even married. She was poor and had nothing. But God said, go to that woman. Elijah went to her. And he said to her, go and bake me some bread. And the woman said to him, I have only one small amount of flour and oil. It was my intentions to cook some bread for my son and I, and we're going to eat it and die of starvation. But the man of God said to her, God said for you to make me some bread. Now, this woman could have disobeyed. I wonder what some of you would have done. I don't think I would have gave him my last piece of bread. But the woman listened to what God said, and she prepared the bread and gave it to Elijah. But I want you to know today that when that woman got back to her house and she looked in her cupboard, I want you to know that there was still flour. And there was still oil. And she baked bread after that for days. And every time she went to her cupboard, there was more bread and more oil. Look at God. When you do what God tells you to do, he will take care of you. And the good thing about God is he can meet every one of your needs. I estimate today in closing that there was probably about 40 or 50, maybe 60 or 70 people in here today. Each one of you have different needs. Each one of you needs something from God. But the God that I serve and that we serve can meet each one of your needs. He can fill each one of your cabinets. Not only your natural cabinet, but he can fill your spiritual man with exactly what you need. But the good news is after he met all 70 or 60 of your needs, he still has exactly what he started with before he started giving it out. Oh, yes, give God a hand praise. He is able to meet your needs. Because the woman did what God said to do. Because the woman, even though in her condition, obeyed what God said to do, God blessed her. We can learn something from this woman. We can learn that there is a blessing in giving to God. There is a blessing in giving our time, our talents, our money. There is a blessing when we give to God. God opens up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. I say to you today, Grace Community Church, I want you to understand that God is a God that provides for his people. There is nothing that God can't do. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your circumstances. I want you to understand today that God provides. God will take care of you. There is nothing. I looked at the word nothing, and it actually says no thing. Nothing is no thing. If you put no thing together, that's nothing. There is no thing that God can't do. Come on, give him a hand praise. Now, there's so much more about the story of Elijah, but time would not permit. So I encourage you in your study time, read the story of Elijah. Read the story of King David. Be encouraged through their story that God will provide and that God has mercy on his people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, I want you today to leave this place today fully encouraged and fully blessed. It is so wonderful that we can come together as a body of believers and that we can praise God together and lift up his name together. But just like Elijah, when we leave these walls, we have a mission. And our mission is to reach people outside of these walls. It's okay to preach to the choir. It's okay to preach to other believers because we need encouragement. But our mission in life is to reach somebody else. I encourage you this week, tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about how God can deliver, how God will provide. Not necessarily come to my church, not mine, come to our church, but tell them, come to Jesus. That's the number one step. Come to Jesus. Let them know that Jesus loves them and that he cares for them. Amen? Will you do that? Amen. God bless you.